This is Aging Matters, care and comfort that surrounds you on WPTF, AM 680, and WPTF.com. Joined by Mary Lucas from Transitions Life Care, here's your host, Jason Kong.
Welcome to Aging Matters, care and comfort that surrounds you, a service of Transitions Life Care. It's your life, your care on FM 92.9, 107.5, and AM 680, WPTF News, Talk, Traffic. Thank you so much for being here with us. I'm Jason Kong, alongside, as always, Mary Lucas, representing Transitions Life Care. Mary, how are you?
Doing well. It's, we're headed into the fall. I like the fall. September is lovely out.
I know you are a fan of the fall.
I'm going to the beach next week.
Getting one last trip in. That's good. And, of course, hockey season.
Hockey just season.
Around the corner for you.
State Fair. State Fair.
Yes. Yeah. All good stuff. Speaking of good stuff, we've got Carson Sellers with us in the studio as well, marketing specialist. She may pop in here or there throughout the show, so be ready for that. And we are going to be discussing aging in place today. And to do that and have a thoughtful discussion, we are very pleased to have Corinne Lawin with us, and she is a social worker in care navigation with Transitions Life Care. Corinne, thank you so much for being here with us today.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for welcoming me. I'm excited about having this conversation today.
Yay! Corinne has been so helpful with so many people at Transitions. I could not think of anyone better to do this show. I think maybe start there. Corinne, tell us a little bit about your role and what the care navigation team does at Transitions Life Care and provides for so many people in the community for free.
Mm-hmm. So Transitions Life Care has put myself and another social worker in place to provide pre-admission social work support to families that are navigating care and are not yet on services with us. And we actually support people in many, many different ways. One of the primary ways that we support families is helping them to determine what are the appropriate supports available to address the needs that are in place with their loved one who is aging, who is experiencing health issues. And sometimes that's the support lines that we offer at Transitions. And sometimes we refer families and provide link them to resources in the community that are more appropriate to address the needs that they have.
That's very helpful. So anyone can call into this line. You don't have to be on hospice or palliative care, or even close to hospice or palliative care, or you're needing those services. Is that right?
That's correct. We do a lot of education over the phone, answering questions from, you know, what should I, I'm thinking about when my loved one is going to be approaching end of life. They're not there yet, or we're just not sure how to get to our doctor appointments anymore, to what happens if we're going to need skilled nursing at some point. I mean, just a whole range of questions that fall under this umbrella of navigating care.
I think probably, if I had to guess, well, maybe I won't guess. I'm going to give it a shot. Probably one of the most common things you hear is about home care and personal care and how to stay at home. Am I right?
Yes. We do a lot of education about this topic that we're going to talk about today. So I'm hoping that it will be helpful to our listeners.
I think that there is a lot of stuff out there in the world you can read about aging in place and how to stay at home, and there are so many resources, it can be overwhelming. So I'm really excited to talk about this a little bit. Maybe let's start with the basics, Corinne. Can you explain the difference between home care, home health, personal care? What are some of the scopes of these services and roles that they play for caregivers and their loved ones?
Yeah, that's a great place to start. And I think we actually have to kind of discuss terminology. People use the term home care or home health to mean a lot of different things. And so for the purpose of our discussion today, I'm going to kind of distinguish it like this. We're going to talk about home care in terms of the type of care where a home health aide comes into the home and provides assistance with somebody's activities of daily living, eating, mobility, bathing, toileting, dressing, light housekeeping. So these types of things that become challenging when you're struggling with health issues, or even just when you're aging and you lose these abilities to do these things independently. So this is your resource for someone to come into the home and help with these types of practical things. And it's not necessarily medical in nature. Mm-hmm. It's more personal care. And there's a huge range here, because this can consist of something as simple as companionship care when you have an individual who maybe is struggling cognitively, but physically they're able to get up, get dressed. They just maybe need some prompting and supervision. They can't be left alone. And so that individual is going to need a companionship level of care, all the way to the range of somebody who is at home but bedbound and needs total assist. They're not able to feed themselves. They're going to need changing. They're going to need cleaning. And, and that's throughout the whole entire day, up to 24 hours a day. So there's a huge range here when it comes to what I'm going to call home care. And then I want to distinguish that from something we refer to as home health. Sometimes mm-hmm. home health gets used mm-hmm. for this term home care, and I'll explain what I mean by home health. And that is more of a skilled level of care. So that is, oh, I'm
that's
sorry.
Skilled, that's a fancy word.
Yes, I was going to explain that. So I'm talking about nursing, I'm talking about physical therapy, occupational therapy, and speech therapy. And this kind of care is typically put in place when somebody is homebound, meaning they're not able to go out to these appointments and get these services. And there's a need for these skilled professionals to come into the home and provide these types of services in the home. It's usually acute, and we can kind of go into a little more depth as to when that is appropriate, when you decide that's a good time in our conversation to cover that. And then, of course, something you talk about often here, which is hospice and palliative care. So I'm kind of distinguishing home care, the kind of help where somebody comes into the home to provide assistance, in those four different categories of home care, home health, hospice, and palliative care.
So you've touched a little bit on hospice here. How mm-hmm. does hospice play into those? Can you add these services mm-hmm. in? I know a lot of people think, oh, I'm on hospice, I'm going to have an aide every day. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a misconception that many people have, thinking that someone's going to be there every day helping mm-hmm. them do all their day-to-day living. So talk to us a little bit about how you can add these services in to help and kind of how they coordinate with hospice.
Okay. So if someone is at the end of life and they are receiving hospice services, there is sometimes a need to put some additional home care in place. Because there is an aide that is included in a hospice care team, but it's very mm-hmm. limited. It's mm-hmm. usually just a couple of times a week, and it's limited to personal care such as bathing. And so if someone's going to need help above and beyond that, and oftentimes they do at the end of life, they're going to need to look and consider other options for getting some additional home care in place.
That's very helpful. I think that that's probably one of the things we hear very, very commonly in hospice and palliative care, of thinking, oh, we're gonna have someone here every day with hospice. And I think it's always good for the caregiver at that point and that stage in someone's disease process, or once you're on hospice, it's so important to be able to have that quality time and help relieve the caregiver. So it's mm-hmm. a really wonderful benefit, if you can have it, to bring in home health or a home health aide to assist.
It is a big help. And we have Corrine Lowine here with us. She is a social worker in care navigation with Transitions Life Care. We're going to continue our conversation related to levels of care and how to age in place right after this. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Aging Matters, care and comfort that surrounds you, a service of Transitions Life Care. It's your life, your care on FM 92.9, 107.5, and AM 680, WPTF, News, Talk, Traffic.
This is Aging Matters, care and comfort that surrounds you on WPTF, AM 680, and WPTF.com with your host, Mary Lucas and Jason Kong.
Welcome back to Aging Matters, care and comfort that surrounds you, a service of Transitions Life Care. It's your life, your care on FM 92.9, 107.5, and AM 680, WPTF, News, Talk, Traffic. I'm Jason Kong here with Mary Lucas, Carson Sellers in the studio as well, and our guest is Corinne Lawine. She is a social worker in care navigation with Transitions Life Care, and we spent our first segment with her kind of defining levels of care, but right now we're talking about the concept of aging in place, and I think this is the goal of most people, Mary, because most people don't sit around thinking, boy, you know, I can't wait to be in assisted living or I can't wait to be in a nursing home. Most of us want to stay in our home as long as we can.
Yes, absolutely. I think that a part of this also becomes a paralysis for many people in making a decision and not knowing where to go next and what to do next to make a decision. And it's hard to say, okay, well, I'm going to give this a shot. I'm going to try this. I'm going to take one step forward. And a lot of the times people are in this caregiver stress and burnout by the time that they think about this or by the time they start seeking it. It may be like two steps too late. So I want to ask Corinne, how does someone go about getting home care, home health, home aides, whatever, personal care, companionship? How does someone go about getting any of these services in place?
Oh, that's a great question. I know that when I'm approached with that question, right along with it is the idea of, is there any sources that are gonna like pay for this care for me? And so I'll start there and say that actually, people end up paying privately for this kind of help in most cases. There are a few potential options to have home care covered, and they are Medicaid. Like if you qualify for community Medicaid, that is the type of Medicaid that has an income criteria. And if you are on community Medicaid, there is coverage for something called PCS, personal care services. And there's a process to go about getting that in place, but it starts with a referral from your primary care physician. And the criteria is that you need help with 2 out of the 5 activities of daily living. Mm-hmm. And if that is the case, your primary care provider can send a referral and get that process started for getting a home health aide in place to help you with those things. There is also assistance through the Veterans Association. So if you are service connected somehow already with the Veterans Association, there are resources for that. It's called aid and assistance. In rare cases, if you have a supplemental plan through Medicare, there are some provisions for home care. And then lastly, if you've put long-term care insurance in place for yourself and you find yourself needing help with these activities of daily living to be able to remain at home independently, there are some provisions for that. So it's always good to consider those potential covered options when you're considering getting home care in place, because you'll want to start with those resources and follow their process for getting it in place. But if you're like most people and you're going to end up having to pay privately for this, you have a couple options. You can get this care in place by going through an agency, or you can sort of network and hire a private caregiver individually.
That sounds difficult. How would you go about finding the right one there? You know, I'm just not going to go to Facebook Marketplace and be like, yep, that's, I'm going to welcome them in my home and have them care for my loved one. What's the right answer there? How do you go about making sure that you're finding someone who's legit?
Well, there are advantages and disadvantages of these two options of hiring an individual caregiver versus going through an agency. And you're right on the nose there when it comes to if you're going to hire somebody directly. You basically become an employer, and you are basically advertising for a position, you know, that you're hiring for. So you need to do your homework when it comes to investigating that. You're going to be the one responsible for checking references, and potentially, I recommend, you know, checking references and doing a background check. But the nice thing about it is you could potentially get somebody who's kind of known in your community or with people, you know, like a neighbor or somebody from your church. And that does cut down the risk quite a bit if a person has that accountability of already being kind of in your personal network. So the main reason for kind of going this route would probably be budget in a lot of cases, because you can potentially maybe pay less for somebody that you're hiring individually versus if you go through an agency. The advantages of going through an agency are that you can typically get the care in very quickly because an agency has these people ready to go. They've already hired them. They've already done the background check. They've already checked their credentials. They also provide insurance coverage. So there's a level of protection when you go through an agency. A lot of times those agencies have programs and criteria, and they write care plans. And so there's some professionalism, there's some accountability, and there's just some levels of protection when you choose an agency versus hiring somebody individually.
You mentioned that you can get them in pretty quick with an agency. What does that look like? If you're having a crisis, say someone went to the hospital, you're coming home, and someone, maybe a social worker at the hospital, said maybe you should consider home care when you get home. I can imagine a caregiver getting home and trying to set up someone and getting them out of the hospital. How quick is quick on these things?
Well, different agencies have different response times. But a lot of times, if you have somebody coming out of the hospital and you need to get home care in place, you can contact the agency. They do need to send a nurse out to do an evaluation before they can send a caregiver out. They want to make sure the environment is safe. They want to know that they've assessed the needs that are there and that they're sending the appropriate person and they're preparing that caregiver appropriately. And so this can be done, though. They can send a nurse out that's going to be there like upon your loved one's arrival home, do their assessment, write the care plan, and get the caregiver in place like pretty quickly. But you need to have contacted them prior to the hospital discharge. In other cases, if you're just in a desperate situation, you know, there are some agencies that can get somebody out there to help you within 24 hours, but that is a really kind of a quick time frame. It's more like a week or so. You need to give them some advance notice for that process to be like less urgent and kind of fall into place more naturally.
When you think about these services, I know in working with some people that I've spoken with, they worry about things like, what if it's not a good match? It was very important for my grandfather. Boy, he would fire someone in a minute. He would have a nurse come in from an agency, and it took him 2 seconds to decide if it was going to work or not, because home care also can be very personal. They were helping him bathe. You know, they were sitting with him for hours, and you're talking to that person for hours sometimes, and they really get to know you, your family, your home, your spouse, your everyone. And they were very, you know, intertwined with our, they would come to holidays, all of the things. So you want to make sure that it's a good match. So what if it's not a good match? What do you suggest to people? Is there a way to break up with somebody?
Oh, goodness gracious. It is difficult to find a good match. And a lot of times, you know, it does come down to personality. And so if it isn't a good fit, you should let the agency know and kind of specify what you're looking for so that they can better triage what would be a good match for the next person that they send.
So I want to Well, actually, we can go to break. And before I dive into this, I could go down a rabbit hole, Jason. you're gonna send me. I'm gonna ask the next question, and then I'm gonna be way over my time.
No, it's okay. It's okay. We can take a break here. We are speaking with Corinne Lawine, and she is a social worker in care navigation with Transitions Life Care, and we are discussing how to age in place. And as you just heard, we're gonna continue that conversation right after this. Please stick around. You're listening to Aging Matters, care and comfort that surrounds you, a service of Transitions Life Care. It's your life, your care on FM 92.9, 107.5, and AM 680 WPTF News, Talk, Traffic.
This is Aging Matters, care and comfort that surrounds you on WPTF, AM 680, and WPTF.com. 60 minutes devoted to giving you all the information you need when caring for a loved one with Mary Lucas and Jason Kong. If you have questions for the show, you can email agingmatters@transitionslifecare.org.
You're listening to Aging Matters, care and comfort that surrounds you, a service of Transitions Life Care. It's your life, your care on FM 92.9, 107.5, and AM 680 WPTF News, Talk, Traffic. Hey, if you want to learn more about Transitions Life Care, be sure to go online to transitionslifecare.org. Transitionslifecare.org. A lot of resources there. Very helpful website, transitionslifecare.org. I'm Jason Kong here with Mary Lucas. Our guest in the studio is Corinne Lawine, and she is a social worker in care navigation with Transitions Life Care. And we're talking all about aging in place. And Mary, we kind of left off on finding a caregiver and, you know, the challenges between taking that up on your own or using an agency, and also, you know, what happens when we need to pivot in terms of finding a caregiver there. And that's where we left off before the end of last segment.
I think it's a really good thing to talk about. I think, you know, from my own personal experience with my grandfather, he was really quick to fire someone. And the sad thing was, you know, he's over in his apartment by himself. And my dad and his brothers were bringing in help, and we were trying to supplement that help and be there as much as we could. But it was really hard when there was a day where no one could be there, and Grandpa calls and he's like, "I let that woman go today." And I'm like, "Excuse me, there's no one going to be there today or tomorrow, and you need bathing. Like, you fired her? Why did you fire her?" And, you know, it wasn't a good fit or whatever the reason may be, but when we found someone who really connected with him, and he had a couple in particular nurses who he was just very well connected with, and once there is that bond, it is wonderful, and they were really great. But it can be really challenging to find that, and it can be deflating for caregivers as well.
I guess it just brings up the point of what a valuable service these people provide to our community that are willing to do this work. They truly are golden, and I know I'm really appreciative, and I love it when I hear a caregiver or a patient compliment their caregiver. And we do have some excellent agencies in our area that really prepare and equip our caregivers with training and have kind of programs that are research-based, adding in activities that are known to improve outcomes for patients, stimulating them cognitively and socially and physically, and just really adding to the quality of life for the individuals getting this care.
I'm so appreciative. It's a hard job to be a caregiver, and it can be emotional. It's challenging physically. It's challenging all the way around. I'm very appreciative for everyone in our community who helps out those who need it most. Corinne, let's talk a little bit about cost. I'd hate to segue straight to that because that's a bummer.
Yeah.
What are the average costs we're looking at associated with home care services, and what can you expect under some of these costs?
Well, if you go through an agency, this care can be pretty pricey. It is between $32 and $38 per hour on average. There's a lot of variables with this. a lot of times the more hours that you're hiring from for, the lower the agency can bring down the rate. They want to send caregivers there for a living wage and a decent shift. And so a lot of times you'll see that agencies will have a minimum of 4 hours that they want to send a caregiver out for. But we do have agencies that will send people 24 hours and even live-in care. And so if that is the need and that is your budget, you can usually negotiate to a lower rate per hour. And like I said before, if budgeting is the main priority in this particular situation, you might be wise to try to go through your own personal network and kind of write the job description yourself and say, these are the hours we need care for, this is the duties we need, this is the kind of person we're looking for, and this is what we can afford to pay, or this is what we're willing to pay. And you can use some social networking sites like care.com or nextdoor.com is a good one, because that puts out information to just people who are in your vicinity, and so somebody can cut down the cost of travel if they're right there in your neighborhood, like maybe a retired nurse or maybe a stay-at-home mom who's just dropped her kids off and has some hours during the day to help out, or even a college student in some circumstances.
It's really good. I can imagine at that rate, there are people who may not have the financial means to afford this, mm-hmm. but who need the help, yeah. probably more. And that's frightening for me, because I'm sure that there are so many people in our community that can't. And are there options available for those who need home care but don't have the means? Mm-hmm. Are there options available for them?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think that you have touched on one of the biggest challenges to aging in place right there, is that there is a lot of Americans that are in this income bracket where they don't qualify for the supports that are put in place. Medicaid, for example, that is for people who have an income rate that's like below poverty level, but they don't have enough in their budget to hire this kind of care. And so that is a big segment of people in our society today that poses a big challenge. There are a couple of programs there for people who are on the lower income bracket but don't qualify for Medicaid. They could research the PACE program, PACE. There's also another program called the Independent Living Program. So those are a couple options that people could Google and research. But when it comes to that situation where somebody is really wanting to remain at home, living independently, they're needing some assistance and they simply cannot afford home care, I encourage people to get really creative and make a list of the tasks that they need assistance with, such as grocery shopping, getting the mail, taking out the trash, and then make a list of the people that are in their personal network and ask for help. And delegate these responsibilities to anybody in their network who's willing to show up. And the reason why is that it's great to piece these out to different people so one person doesn't get totally overloaded with care, or the care doesn't fall all on one person. And for a lot of people, this can be a real blessing. And what I mean is giving somebody an opportunity to have a piece of the care and help out and serve. Like, for example, if you have your neighbor Joe, and, he's not going to be the person that comes and helps you give you a bath, but Joe would be willing to take out your trash once a week. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of the line of thinking I have when I think of getting creative. There's a lot of things that can be put in place to increase safety, such as cameras and that somebody, a loved one who maybe lives a little too far, can have a constant voice connection to you. It isn't a substitute for having an actual, you know, person in the home at all times that's available. But you can get creative and give some of the people, especially in situations where, for example, maybe somebody has been in the hospital and you've had 20 people say, just let me know if there's anything I can do. Mm-hmm. And you can actually take those people up on it. Make a list of the things that people can do and divvy those tasks out.
I feel like people in those situations never, someone always says that. I said that, you know, now you say that, I said that to someone this morning. Yeah. And now that I think about it, myself, I would never be like, hey, actually, you mentioned that. I would like to take you up on that. I don't think I would ever, but you have to ask for help before you hit a place where it's too far gone and you're stressed and you're burnt out.
Another thing is if somebody is on hospice, that's when it's extremely appropriate to ask for help and to give the opportunity for people to come in and be close to that person who is going to pass away, to put the needs out there and allow people into that space. Those moments are sacred, and the people that will be given the opportunity to come in and help will treasure that opportunity.
I think that's such an important point because it is hard to make that ask, but a lot of us who make the offer really do want to help out, and if there's anything that we can do, usually that is a very rewarding experience. Mm-hmm. We're speaking with Corinne Lawin. She is a social worker in care navigation with Transitions Life Care. We're talking all about aging in place, and we're going to continue our conversation right after this. You're listening to Aging Matters, care and comfort that surrounds you, a service of Transitions Life Care. It's your life, your care on FM 98.5, AM 680, WPTF News, Talk, Traffic.
This is Aging Matters, care and comfort that surrounds you on WPTF, AM 680, and WPTF.com. Joined by Mary Lucas from Transitions Life Care, here's your host, Jason Kong.
This is Aging Matters, care and comfort that surrounds you, a service of Transitions Life Care. It's your life, your care on FM 92.9, 107.5, and AM 680, WPTF News, Talk, Traffic. Thanks for being here with us. Jason Kong here with Mary Lucas. We are going to now be discussing Medicaid, and we have Corinne Lawin here with us in the studio. She is a social worker in care navigation with Transitions Life Care. And Mary, you know, aging in place is an important concept for most of us. And unfortunately, the cost associated with aging in place is rather significant. A lot of this also has to be paid for privately. But let's get into a discussion on Medicaid now, because I think there's a lot of confusion when it comes to, okay, where does this start? Where does it end? And let's just figure this out.
Yes, I think Medicaid is one of those terms that people just don't understand. I including myself, when someone's like, well, they're Medicaid pending. And I'm like, Medicaid pending? What? Like the process itself of applying for Medicaid, how do you apply, who qualifies, all of these things can be very confusing for people. And a lot of the times they're going through this process when and they're already stressed out and there's a lot of other things going on. So Corinne, talk to us a little bit about what people should know about Medicaid and the application process for Medicaid.
Yes, Medicaid is definitely a mysterious topic, and I'm going to do my best to provide a simplified kind of breakdown about Medicaid. First of all, Medicaid is kind of a safety net that we have in our society to help in certain, I would say, dire circumstances. And there are a lot of different Medicaid programs, and it does center around kind of like your medical insurance. It's something that you would have in place of like a Blue Cross or Blue Shield. You'd have Medicaid instead. And there are lots of different provisions under Medicaid. But I would like to kind of discuss three different main types of Medicaid. The first type of Medicaid is community Medicaid, and that is the type of Medicaid that you qualify for if your income is at or below poverty level. The second type of Medicaid is Medicaid Special Assistance. Medicaid Special Assistance is a type of Medicaid that you can qualify for if your income is slightly above poverty level and you are needing assisted living level of care. And then the third type of Medicaid that I would like to talk about is long-term care Medicaid. Long-term care Medicaid is does not have an income criteria. It is mainly asset-based in terms of your qualification, and it is used to pay for skilled nursing care. In other words, if you are in need of skilled nursing, that is very costly. Basically, you're going to need to use all of the resources that you have available to you to pay for that care. And that means like any savings that you have or life insurance policies that can be cashed out, that have a cash benefit. And then once those resources are exhausted, you can apply for long-term care Medicaid. And what will happen is once you're approved and you're situated in skilled nursing, your income, your Social Security or whatever other forms of income you have is going to go to pay for your care, and then the difference between what that care costs, the negotiated rate, and what you know is coming from your own resources is then covered by long-term care Medicaid. So those are kind of the big picture, the three major types of Medicaid that we're going to talk about here today.
So how does one know, well, I'm going to go apply for that one, or I should apply for that one? Who helps guide someone through this process? Is there someone they can look to for help in determining what the next best step is in applying for Medicaid?
Well, it kind of depends on the circumstances that you're in. A lot of times when this comes into play is when you're in the hospital and you're like, wow, I was living independently before I had this, you know, thing happen. And now I'm finding myself in the hospital and I'm not able to go back into the community like I did before. I need a higher level of care. In which case, there is a wonderful resource called a hospital social worker, which I highly recommend you, you know, you consult with, and that person can help guide you through this process. And then other times, you're out in the community, and you know that you really are in a situation where you need some additional help. You're not able to afford your medical care. You're disabled, you're retired, and your Social Security income is less than like $1,250 a month. And somebody mentions to you, you know, you may want to consider applying for Medicaid. One great resource is SHIP, or some of these other individuals that guide seniors through their choices, their Medicare choices, actually. Because if you are at that income level where you qualify for Medicaid and you go ahead and you apply for Medicaid and it's approved, you can then combine your Medicaid and your Medicare plans together to get all kinds of extra benefits. For example, your Medicaid can pay for your Medicare premium to have those, B and C. It can help cover some dental work, provide transportation. Also, there's even some of the plans that if you combine them, there's like a monthly stipend that can go towards paying for your utility bills, as well as some extra needed supplies like vitamins and things like that. So it is just an absolutely wonderful program if you qualify for that. There's just a lot of support that's given, including something called PCS services or personal care services, which can be utilized to get a home health aide in place to help with those activities of daily living.
I want to talk about the assets piece of this, and like I know that there are people who are like, well, I qualify based on my income, but I have a house or I have assets that are, you know, that are a part of, I don't know the word I'm looking for. I have assets.
Right.
What does that look like when applying for Medicaid, when someone sees that you have a house that you maybe have equity in, or et cetera?
Yeah. And there's a lot of fear surrounding that, and probably some legitimate concerns, like people don't want something that they want to be an inheritance for their loved ones when they pass away to be exhausted. And so what I encourage people to do with those questions is to contact an estate planning attorney or somebody who's very knowledgeable about the litigation of all of this. It's worth the consultation to get some advice about this, because I know that there are ways that things can be situated to where you can utilize these programs wisely and above board legally and still kind of have those. Like, for example, if you've got a couple and one spouse needs a skilled nursing level of care, and their income is needed to pay for, you know, the bills, basically. You know, what about that other spouse? What about retaining a home? What about retaining a car? And so these are conversations that are best had with somebody who's knowledgeable about the law. And then a family planning or estate planning attorney is somebody you should consult in that situation.
I want to finish here with the importance of social workers. You have a really hard job, and I'm so appreciative of everything that you do, that social workers do in our community. It is so important to engage social workers, whether it's at the hospital or by calling Transitions Life Care and talking with Corrine and her colleague. But I just am so grateful for everything that social workers do and across our community. And I think it's an underutilized resource, and I'm very appreciative. Corrine, I'm just like, hey, help. You know everything. I think you and your colleague at Transitions are just a wealth of knowledge, and I'm so appreciative. And I know so many others who speak with you every single day are also very appreciative of the guidance that you provide.
Well, thank you. It's quite an honor. Some people think we're magical, but we're
not. You are.
We are just knowledgeable, or it's our job to be knowledgeable about resources and assessing what the needs are and linking people with the appropriate sources of support that are available, and empowering people to utilize those sources that are available and work past some of the emotional barriers that are there with asking for help and utilizing support.
I love the word empowerment. I think empowering caregivers and their loved ones to is huge. But thank you. Thank you for everything you do.
My pleasure.
We've been speaking with Corrine Lauin. She is a social worker in care navigation with Transitions Life Care. And Corrine, if folks would like to learn more about the care navigation program at Transitions Life Care, what's the best way to do that?
Just call our main number.
Perfect. You can also go to transitionslifecare.org, find all the contact information there, transitionslifecare.org. That's going to do it for us today. We've got to get out of here. On behalf of Mary Lucas and Carson Sellers, I'm Jason Kong, thanking you so much for listening to Aging Matters, care and comfort that surrounds you, a service of Transitions Life Care. It's your life, your care on FM 92.9, 107.5, and AM 680 WPTF News, Talk, Traffic.
You've been listening to Aging Matters, care and comfort that surrounds you on WPTF, AM 680, and WPTF.com. For more information, log on to transitionslifecare.org.